Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel very strongly about what's going on over there now, just as I did when we made the decision to go into Iraq in 03. I believed in it then. I look back on it now. It was absolutely the right thing to do.
That is the voice of former Vice President Dick Cheney, who passed away today at the age of 84. And he speaking back in 2014 about the war in Iraq and was still supportive of it then, though largely considered a failure by many people in the country. It is time to go to the guest line here just after 10 o'clock. We've got Nancy Cordes, who is CBS News Chief White House Correspondent on the Chris and Amy Show. Nancy, appreciate you being with us today. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We are doing well. So we just like everyone else, got the news of the passing of the former vice president. And as that happens, what has been the reaction in Washington and at the White House today? We know the flags are at half staff. So what else do we know?
Right. So I'm standing here on the north lawn of the White House and looking at the flags, which have now been lowered to half staff. Interestingly, we've gotten no official proclamation from the president, no statement from the White House about Dick Cheney's passing, which is fairly unusual given that he is a former Republican vice president. Perhaps not that surprising given his comments about President Trump in the past. And in addition, the response we've gotten from the entire Republican establishment has been pretty muted. Typically, you would have a slew of statements from Republican members of Congress in your inbox by now, but it appears that a lot of them are sort of holding off to see how the president is going to react to this before they chime in.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I was going to ask about Cheney's legacy because, yes, it's different now because of the rise of MAGA Republicanism and the Trump administration and how the Republican Party has changed. But even later on in life, George H.W. Bush had said that Cheney had become a very different person than the person that he worked with. This was even back in the younger Bush's days. He said that Cheney built his own empire. Cheney himself addressed the fact that people had said he became a different man after 9/11. So what was his legacy and how did it change over those decades?
I think that he is someone who was considered one of the preeminent foreign policy hawks in his day, when that was a very standard conservative position within the Republican Party. He was an interventionist. He believed that it was the right thing to do, for example, to go to war in Iraq, and continued to believe that long after many people, including many Republicans, came to believe that the evidence that was used to convince Congress and the country to go to war was actually manufactured and made out to be more than was actually there. So that was a stain on his legacy for sure. But at the same time, a lot of the positions he held until long after he had left the White House were very standard conservative positions of his day. He was a big believer in free markets. He was a big believer in low taxes. Where there was this real dividing line was when it came to Donald Trump, the man. And that's when you saw both Dick Cheney and his daughter, Liz Cheney, the former congresswoman, speak out quite vocally against Donald Trump. And Cheney became sort of bolder as time went on, to the point where just before the last election, he actually announced that he was voting for Kamala Harris, and he called Donald Trump the biggest threat to the Republic. said that he tried to steal the election, called him a coward. And so, you know, the battle lines were really drawn as far as Cheney and Trump are concerned.
So with the, you know, with that knowledge, and we were talking earlier about how there haven't been a whole lot of official statements from Republicans, do we expect that those are going to come, or is it because the president was not really a big fan that we may not see much of that at all?
I think that it's a couple of things. First of all, I think there are a lot of Republicans who don't want to get crosswise with President Trump, and so they want to take their cues from him. I think that there are Republicans who have a complicated view of Cheney, given his criticism of Trump, given Liz Cheney's criticism of Trump, and the fact that Liz Cheney, you know, sat on the January 6th commission in Congress and the like. But the statements we are getting are quite laudatory. Senator John Barrasso, for example, who, like Cheney, is from Wyoming, said that Cheney's unflinching leadership shaped many of the biggest moments in domestic and foreign policy for decades. He'll be remembered as a towering figure who helped to guide the course of history. And then we've also gotten a statement from the former president, George W. Bush, who said that Dick was a calm and steady presence in the White House amid great national challenges. I counted on him for his forthright, honest counsel, and he never failed to give his best. You know, Cheney really kind of reinvented the modern notion of what a vice president could be and what they could do. Before Cheney, you know, the vice presidents were sort of typically in the background, and they only took assignments that were given to them by the president. And Cheney took a very wide purview, in part because he had deep experience on Capitol Hill as defense secretary. And he kind of had a remit from George W. Bush to kind of go in any direction that he wanted, whether it was foreign policy or domestic policy.
Yeah, really interesting. We brought this up earlier that at a White House correspondents' dinner, Barack Obama joked that Dick Cheney was the worst president of his lifetime, which, as you said, was pretty transformative for a VP role.
Yeah, and you know, Cheney was asked about that at different points. The fact that he was viewed as someone who kind of was like operating in the shadows and a shadow president, and was, you know, he got this reputation as someone who was kind of scheming behind the scenes. And he said, you know, I don't really mind that. It actually enables me to get a lot done. You know, the fact that I'm not really worried about my political image, is not worried about running for president himself. I can just kind of work and operate, work my connections and do what I think needs to get done. So I think he did from time to time use that to his advantage, although you're right, there was this perception of him sometimes as kind of like the puppet master, basically telling the president what to do, because he was so much more a character of Washington, steeped in Washington, and with those longtime relationships than George W. Bush was, who, even though he was the son of a president, had spent so much of his life in Texas and had been the governor of Texas. So he had, you know, a lot of executive experience, but didn't have the same kinds of Washington ties that Cheney did.
Nancy Cordes, CBS News Chief White House Correspondent, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. We know you've got a hit to do, so thank you for jumping on with us real quick.
Thanks for having me.
Nancy Cordes from CBS News with us on KMOX.
You know, we mentioned earlier Vice, the 2018 movie starring Christian Bale. And it was, it was not a flattering portrait of Dick Cheney. It was, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, darkly satirical when it came to Cheney's career. And Cheney once recounted he was speaking to a University of Wyoming student, obviously Dick Cheney out of Wyoming. And he said in 2019 that it was his granddaughter was the first person in the family to see the movie. And he asked her what she thought of it. And she said, well, it says you are a real bad A, and that's cool. So she liked it. She All was right. like, you looked kind of like a you-know-what.
Well,
he did come out on some speeches to the Imperial March, Darth Vader's theme in Star Wars. because of that, as Nancy Cordes brought up, that reputation for being a working in the dark shadows. And so on some of his speeches, he would come out to the Imperial March. He had like a Darth Vader sticker or something on his car. Yeah.
So what's funny is that, you know, I heard a little bit of Total Information AM earlier today, and they did talk about the shooting, that Dick Cheney was out quail hunting with a friend of his who died many years later, though. Didn't die there.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't die there.
He died in like, he died what, two, three years ago, I think he died. For some reason, that hunting accident where he accidentally shot his friend, it feels like it just happened like maybe 5 or 10 years
really?
Ago. But yeah, I don't know why. It feels like it happened a decade ago. But it was like
20 years ago, 2006.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
And it's funny because there were, at the height of his power, right, Dick Cheney, Darth Vader operating in the shadows. But some of his influence began to wane. And it wasn't a full Dukakis moment. The hunting accident, but it kind of was.
Yeah.
Once you start becoming less scary and more goofy, that's a problem. And in 2007, another White House press dinner, George W. Bush said, "Hey, I'm not becoming a lame duck unless, of course, Cheney shoots me in the leg." That's what Bush said.
It's very funny.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
And like I said, my friend who actually just saw George W.'s Bush speak in New York, it was Bush and Clinton together. He said Bush was hilarious. He said it was so funny.
Oh, I believe that. I know people who met the former president multiple times and they really liked him. They thought he was personable. And I could see that. I mean, it just...
you'd want to get a beer with him.
That was the whole trope, right? You wanted to get a beer with the guy. And I totally believe that to be true. I don't think that W has a bad heart or anything, you know? I don't mean like Dick Cheney's bad heart. I mean like, you know, as a bad-hearted person, I don't believe him to be that. I just didn't think he was a particularly good president. Now, if you're Harry Whittington, who was the friend who was shot in the face, he was, after the fact, you know, when he came out of the hospital because he had the shot to his face, there was a pellet that lodged near his heart. He ended up having a heart attack. As a result of it. So when he left the hospital about a week or so later, he said accidents do happen. So he was, you know, he forgave his friend for shooting him in the face. If your friend accidentally shoots you in the face, do you forgive them right away?
If it's a good friend, I would feel terrible for them because here's what I would think. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm not the one that accidentally shot them in the face. That's what I would feel. My first thought would be, I'm so glad I did not do this to somebody else. I'm glad I got hit. I couldn't live with myself if I hurt someone else. I would much rather get hit myself. Because wouldn't you feel terrible for your friend?
No, I'd feel much worse for me. So think about, all right, you're saying that you would rather me shoot you in the face on accident than you shoot me in the face?
Well, you're not
think
really
about what
a
you're saying.
Friend. Oh. You're someone they pay me to talk to.
No,
it was a good friend, I would actually feel way worse. If it were you, no.
What if
but
it were
a good friend, I would feel way worse for the friend because I know how devastated I would be if I accidentally hurt my friend. I would much rather be the injured person. I'm not trying to be like brave. I don't mean it that way. And maybe I would regret it as soon as I got a shot in the face. but
I think if you shot on accident a complete stranger, I don't think that you would ever get over it.
No, I would never get over it.
Right.
Because I say this, and this is not that I use fear-based motivation for kids, but when kids that are close to me, you know, family, extended family, all of that, start driving, I tell them, I'm like, I don't care if you are looking down for a second at your phone. I don't care if you think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I'll just change a song. You are traveling so fast when you're driving, and all it takes is one kid to run off the sidewalk or a guy on a bike that you don't see because it's kind of dark or a dad crossing the street, and your life is ruined if you hurt someone because you were distracted. It doesn't matter that you didn't mean to do it. I, that's devastating. I didn't think we would take this turn on the conversation, but I think about that all the time.
You started it.
Pedestrians on the highway. We just had another pedestrian struck on Highway 40 because they were walking across the highway. That is their fault. If you are a human at night on Highway 70 walking, you're going to get hit, and it's your fault. But I would never be able to live with myself.
Cardinals offseason is officially underway. So we're going to talk to Derek Gould, who is the lead Cardinals writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. That'll be just after 10:30. It's the Chris and Amy Show until noon on 104.1 FM KMOX. KMOX, 104.1 FM. And if you didn't hear it, we are celebrating our 100th anniversary this year. We got a big show coming up on, you'll never guess, 11:20. November 20th.
Would that be KMOX Day?
It'll be KMOX Day.
Unbelievable.
So we'll have
100 years.
Special programming all day. We'll let you know all about it in the days to come. And we thank you for being a part of this for all 100 years. We know that everybody listening has been listening for 100 years. So the football pick'em, it happened last week. And, you know, I was just kind of, I couldn't remember what my picks were. And I watched some of the games unfold on Sunday, and I thought, yes, I'm doing really well here. I know I'm going to win. I didn't win.
Did Ricky, I get all of them wrong?
You did not. You got three right.
Ooh, that's not very many, though.
Our winner for this past week's football pick'em, no prize pick'em, is Ricky. Listener Ricky, who defeated Amy Marks Kors, me, and Polo Asensio. So Ricky gets to come back on Friday and participate again. Ricky got them all right but two. So I thought I was going to do really well here because I thought that I had picked the Lions to lose. I didn't. I knew I had picked the Packers to lose, so that one hit. I know I stupidly picked the Bears, but they actually did come through.
They won, though.
They did.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it's always a stupid pick, but they came through for me this time.
I think I picked the Bears this time, didn't I?
You did not. Yeah, okay. Ricky did, and so did I, and that was it. So congratulations to Ricky, who wins nothing but the opportunity to come back on Friday. We will have a celebrity picker with you on Friday. And if you want to do this in the future, let's say you're listening now and you think that'll be a lot of fun, go ahead and text the show at 314-436-7900. Give us your first name, and it's possible somebody will reach out to you for a future no prize pick'em week.
Apropos of absolutely nothing, I have an update. It's an airport update. Would you like it?
Sure. I love airport updates.
Spirit Airlines, ever heard of them? They'll discontinue service from St. Louis Lambert International Airport effective January 8th. They are discontinuing all St. Louis service. They're also discontinuing all service to Milwaukee, Phoenix, and Rochester, New York. They said they're doing it as part of their effort to, quote, better position the airline for the future.
Okay.
My guess is they're going out of business.
Okay, so is Spirit the bad one? Is it Spirit, Frontier, or JetBlue? Which of those are the bad
Spirit
ones?
Spirit and Frontier are the, I call them the bad ones, but Spirit and Frontier and Allegiant are
hyper
like
economy
discount. Yeah. Yeah. And they're super economical because sometimes, like when I flew Allegiant, they line you up to board, they call the first and second groups, and while you're lined up to board, they say, actually, this flight's been canceled because we don't have a pilot or crew. They're not here.
Okay.
They're not here. Now, I guess it was extraordinary optimism that you could have a flight from St. Louis to Florida on Allegiant, and the people at the gate are thinking, listen, we got to board now. We can't find the pilot or the crew. Let's line up to board because maybe by the time we get through all the groups, the pilot will be there.
How often
does
this happen?
A lot of optimism. I don't know, but once is enough. Once is enough for me. I don't mean to poo-poo. I don't mean to poo-poo Allegiant, but it was really disappointing because on the way there, they did the same thing where they canceled the flight. So we only had a 5-day vacation and we lost 2 days because Allegiant canceled or delayed their flights so that we missed the entire day.
Oh.
It was
awful. And there's no recourse for that.
There was no recourse because I guess they scheduled it within 24 hours.
Yes.
But that's, I mean, if you have a 5-day vacation and 2 whole days are lost sitting at that Midway or whatever that airport is, the Mid-America airport.
Yes.
In Illinois, across the river. and you miss you, and then oh my gosh, I was so upset.
Is the Biden administration rule that airlines have to refund you or reimburse you for cancellations or long delays, like the 3 hour or 6 hour delays? Six hours for international flights. Does that still exist, or has that been gotten rid of?
I think that stuff still exists.
Rule.
I think you want
it should.
You have to know how to ask for it / yes. apply it. And two, airlines, I believe, are figuring out loopholes like, well, that only counts if the pilot's around or so many hours or so forth. So I think you just need to know how to ask for it because they will not offer it. They will not tell you.
Of course not. Yeah, yeah. I think you have to go through the Department of Transportation, if I'm not mistaken. Well, at any rate, sorry, you won't be able to fly Spirit out of St. Louis anymore. I never got a chance to do it. I almost wanted to do it just for the fun to see what it was like.
Well, if you like going 50% of the time to where you think you're going, you should try it.
I love that. Let's talk some baseball when we come back. Derek Gould is the lead Cardinals writer for the Post-Dispatch. The Cardinals offseason officially is underway now with the baseball season over. We'll talk to Derek when we come back on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ground ball to short to his left. Dropped by Mason Wynn. Strong throw. Still got him. Boy, it's good to have a cannon like that. When you knock a ball down and from deep short, you can still get it out.
Well, it's here. Cardinals offseason technically started a month ago, but we are now officially in the baseball offseason and all really curious to see what's going to happen next. Joining us here on the Chris and Amy show is the lead Cardinals writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It is Derek Gould, who is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Derek?
All right. How are you? I'm almost a gentleman, but Amy's there, and I wanted to congratulate her.
Uh-huh.
No. I was looking like this. Tell me more about the Salvation Army thing.
Oh, well, I will just note.
If I can just interrupt and yes. ask the first question of the interview.
Yes, I will just say it'll be pithy. I was so honored to be the chair of the Salvation Army this Christmas season for their Red Kettle campaign. And Derek, like, I love the Salvation Army and all the work they do helping out the neighbors around the St. Louis area. And so thank you very much. I'm so excited to partner with them.
Yeah.
I will be ringing the bell next to the Red Kettle at a Deerberg's near you.
Congratulations. That's great to hear.
Thank you. I
did an interview while someone last year, one of the Cardinals executives was out there, and we did an interview while ringing the bell.
Oh, awesome. It's the best. Everybody can volunteer.
That would probably sound great. That'd probably sound great on radio. Just the bell ringing the entire time during the interview.
It's
sound great.
It has Christmas spirit to it.
I guess it would.
And I will say this, Derek, because as the off season begins, I'm very excited about Heim Bloom, and I thought the Cardinals should use the hashtag Heim to Fly. Heim to Fly is pretty good, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't use it.
Time to Fly. I'm sure they've fiddled around with a bunch of. I've seen a lot of different ones. Off season is in bloom. That would have been an old timey newspaper headline in the before times. We would have gone with off season in bloom. So now we won't. But any of those would have been good.
Derek, here's what you can use. The first draft. You know, the first real draft. Some of those players, if they ever graduate to the big leagues,
mm-hmm.
when they do, you can call them baby bloomers.
That's so good.
Totally taken that.
So
that's
good.
Great.
Yeah, you can use that.
That's
yeah.
so good. Well, Derek, you're welcome. You're welcome in advance.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
And yeah. I guess we're done here.
Yeah.
All right. So the offseason is underway. The first thing that we, the first bit of news that happened before the season came to an end was learning the Cardinals, and you did some reporting on this too, that they have their entire coaching staff coming back. They're going to make some additions. They're going to add some mm-hmm. roles. Some guys are going to sort of shift around within the organization, but nobody is being launched from the organization. What are your thoughts on them just kind of going with what they have in-house at the moment?
I think it speaks to a lot of how Heim Bloom came in, had more than a year to kind of, well, almost, yeah, 2 years really, to kind of get to know folks and understand folks. And as that kind of evolved and his feel for it developed, he really told us in that first day and said so at other times that he understood the value of that continuity and how there were a lot of the right people in the right jobs, but they just needed more help. And the support staff or the tech or whatever wasn't there to amplify what the group was capable of doing, and he wanted to do that. He wants to see what a year with some of these folks and some of this group, what a year with him in charge does, right? He's notably keeping a position open that would be his top lieutenant, so to speak, the general manager spot. That could go to anybody who's in-house. That could go to somebody from outside. But he's allowing that to kind of develop. But he saw the work, and this is happening both in the front office and on the field staff, that the people in place were already doing. And I was like, well, look at what more they could do or what direction they could go if they had greater support. And so there's been this real big build-out of staff, some creation of new positions, and each one of those has come with additional kind of staffing to provide, support underneath that title role.
And one of the notable omissions was Yadier Molina, and there had been reports that there was some interest there, or that at least he was interested in joining the staff, but he is not going to be part of this coaching staff. Is that, what does that say about him and how the organization feels about him? Does it say anything at all?
No, not at this point. Not really. I mean, he hasn't landed with another place. He has a preferred schedule for things. He threw his hat in the ring because he saw all the action happening. You talk to people who are close to him, and, there were a lot of openings, and there remain a lot of staff to fill, and you can't guarantee that that's going to be the case a year from now, which is when he's kind of talked about wanting to be more available, right? So he wanted to go through this senior season with his son, who's a high school catcher, I believe all conference, and certainly a talented player there in Texas. And, he wanted to go through that process of that final high school year, maybe into the draft. He's committed to a college already. And then Yadi said he wants to throw himself back into baseball with the schedule opening to do that. The opportunities this off season kind of changed that schedule maybe a little bit, but maybe, but also didn't really change his wish to, if the right spot didn't come open, to stay with his son. And the Cardinals have, throughout this whole thing, they have maintained this conversation with him. He's got an invite to spring training. He's got opportunity there. If he wants a flexible schedule and wants to contribute, this is the place where he has the most likely opportunity to do that, unless one of his buddies, unless it's with Texas, with Skip Schumacher or wherever Albert Pujols, if Albert Pujols sets up, that those are possibilities, right? He's got the tie to the Rangers now with Skip as the manager there, but the Cardinals have been consistent. They've been in touch with him, and, folks who represent Yadi have told me that they, they invite to spring and invite to be around, willingness to work around his schedule and his wishes to keep him involved, get him in touch with catchers, all of that stuff. So, no, it doesn't really resonate like huge, like they're walking away from him at all. If anything, they've remained in touch.
Derek Gould with us on KMOX. And from what I can gather, just, listening to what Cardinals fans are thinking and saying about this offseason, some people are feeling prudent about it. Some people want them to be aggressive. They don't have any patience whatsoever. So how is this offseason going to unfold?
Well, I mean, it's going to leave somebody unhappy if those are the views, right? I guess we can probably guarantee that. That's the only thing. You know, the prudent is such a fascinating word. It might be more applicable than, say, in past winters, what I would call them conservative, or they would call themselves opportunistic. You know, they have a long game view. And while Einbloom repeatedly said and has since either underscored with his visits with y'all on KMOX, I know he was with Matt Pauly, other times where he said they're not going to concede anything. And I think we all know from watching years of this National League Central, it's at least vulnerable to the surprise team, right? You know, a team that contends, a team that can kind of weather the injuries, that can stand out. I mean, the Brewers did a lot without a high payroll, and they got a lot of performance from young folks. And that is possible in this division. They're not in the National League West. They're not in the American League East. That said, they are playing the long game here, and they want to have a focus for a stronger core, a development and deploy kind of model that then they outfit down the road with spending. And that's kind of the key. They're not saying that they're going to go out and capitalize on what could be a really interesting market because of, you know, labor uncertainty from 12 months from now. So that does open up the possibility for a team to be strategic and aggressive and pursue some of these players who a year from now are unsure what the expiration of the CBA is going to bring. But the Cardinals aren't in that frame. They have advertised that they're looking down the road and that their spending will be more about the stuff that we were just talking about, you know, kind of the investment in the future and in the staff and in the infrastructure, which doesn't exactly fill the headlines, but it does put them in a position they feel better for the years to come.
How would a lockout affect the Cardinals' plan?
Well, it could delay it. It could. I mean, it's already going to influence it. You know, you're talking about with a lockout, you're talking about teams that are heavily reliant on games being played for their finances, which is a majority of these teams, and particularly the Cardinals. You're talking about another financial pinch for them. If they can't sell tickets to games that don't exist and they can't get the broadcast fees from a game that won't be on TV, that will be a pinch. And what baseball does to what system is in place when baseball emerges from these upcoming negotiations will tell us a lot about where the Cardinals can find their next edge. I don't want to be doom and gloom, because there is a real sense that the vibrancy of this last World Series, the $13 billion industry, the talent in the game, all of these things are going to apply leverage to get a deal done and avoid a work stoppage. If owners want to pursue a salary cap, they're not going to get it, and players will hold firm. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other ways for the owners to get some kind of limitations on these skyrocketing tycoon teams and build in something that does allow the smaller market teams to remain competitive. There is a way for that to happen. They have to get creative. They have to get some concessions, and they have to give some concessions. And so the sense is that baseball is riding a wave of popularity and just such great talent in the game that you don't want to destroy that.
Yeah, I think the momentum, losing that would be really painful for them. And maybe they don't quite realize that yet. So maybe, and we talked about this on Gas House Gang last week with Wheeler and Claiborne, that maybe revenue sharing is the answer. Maybe something similar to what the NFL does. Not necessarily a cap so much, but making sure that you've got that pool of money and then the lower level teams can compete and do actually spend that money. Would that ever work?
Right. Yeah. The clamp on you have to spend this on baseball operations is one that, you know, you get some support for that. An NFL model, the baseball would love, right? Because you look it up and the Green Bay Packers got $430 million in revenue sharing a year ago, right? I mean, baseball is just not dealing in those type of waters. The NFL has such a massive national TV deal that the teams are ahead before they take the field. Baseball is not going to get that. Baseball has a tremendous inventory of games at a day and age when content is king, and they provide a lot of content just by the sheer volume of games, right? And that's something that baseball wants to be in position and is really trying right now to be in position to capitalize on. This World Series will help, but so too will the expiration of multiple local deals that allows for them come 2028 to really go into a national deal that should be more fruitful, more revenue producing, and more widespread to help the smaller teams. That's what they want to get to. They want to get to a deal like the NBA has. And with the World Series ratings outpacing the NBA Finals and Major League Baseball really feeling good about it, they've already started to explore what that looks like with some streaming entities. We've already seen dress rehearsals. You guys have seen the Roku, the Apple TV, got Netflix doing the opening day. These are all dress rehearsals for what does a national package look like for baseball so that they can get that revenue. It won't be the size. It just never will be the size of what you're talking about with the NFL, and that would be great if they could pull that off. That would be helpful for all teams, but it is at least a start.
So lastly, and I know that this has been basically a foregone conclusion, or at least that's what the conventional wisdom is, that this lockout is going to happen. You did mention an avenue that they could avoid it. What is the real likelihood they could avoid a serious work stoppage where, like, maybe the season does start on time in 2027 or maybe just a couple of weeks late or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, very similar to what happened the last time, right? I mean, you had the 2020, the coming out of the lockout the previous time. What was that, 4 years ago? It would be very similar. The way the timing of it works is the CBA expires and the owners put in a lockout, but there are months to go before spring training arrives. There's more months to go before the games are started to schedule. So you could technically have a work stoppage that would not interrupt the season at all. It would interrupt our hot stove conversation. And deadlines create realities, and we saw that in real time, when there wasn't the pressure of a schedule. The conversations kind of lingered and loitered, and they went weeks without negotiations, and then they would have meetings and there wouldn't be pressure. Deadlines create resolution, and the pressure is real for baseball not to lose momentum. So you might see a lockout and go, gosh, oh, here we are again. But you would have the same pressures in place to have a deal done before the season starts.
All right, Derek Gould, we appreciate it. And if you do get any breaking news, let us know first before you tweet.
And I don't really think the Post-Dispatch would appreciate that. They prefer that I write it for them and then tweet. That's
all right. Whatever.
Yeah, no,
debatable.
I know.
All right. Well,
is it? No, because I'm pretty cool working for the Post-Dispatch.
Just think about it. Give it some thought.
Okay, I will. I'll work on it. We have a long winter ahead.
Thank you, Derek.
You're the best.
Thanks, guys.
From the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, lead Cardinals writer, it is Derek Gould with us on KMOX. Hey, did you watch Monday Night Football last night?
I did. Oh.
No, you didn't.
No, I
were
didn't.
Were you able to?
No, I wasn't.
This streaming stuff is getting out of hand. We'll talk about it next on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, one of the most obnoxious parts of you know, pretty privileged life these days is streaming service disruptions and the fact that you've got some of these carriers that are without certain networks, like, for example, YouTube TV. If you watch TV, if that's how you consume, you know, like cable, you can't get FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Hasn't been available for years because Sinclair owns that network, and there's been some issues with that. And then last night, Monday Night Football was not available for about 10 million people who have a YouTube TV subscription. The only way you could watch it is if you have an antenna on your TV, one of those digital antennas. And a lot of people were pretty upset about that because the two sides, Disney, ESPN, which is one side, could not reach a deal with YouTube TV. And therefore, all the ESPN, ABC, Disney channels, none of it available on YouTube TV. And you had people weighing in yesterday, like J.J. Watt, who was a former NFL superstar, who tweeted out, "So we're just not watching Monday Night Football. I am not buying another streaming subscription."
Yeah.
And that's a multimillionaire. And you know what? I get it. I think he's right. People don't want to do this anymore. It's obnoxious. And in this particular case, this is really, I believe, at the feet of Disney. They want this to happen. They are trying to upcharge YouTube TV so that they charge their customers more because Disney wants you to get Hulu instead. Hulu is their service. They want you to use their service. They don't want you to use YouTube TV, so they're trying to jack up the price on you. That's what's going on here.
It's selfish. I will say it's a relief when I visit my parents and they have DirecTV.
Cable. You know, when we're going back
it's
to
so much
DirecTV.
Nicer.
I mean, we cut the cord for a reason, and now everything is just as expensive as it used to be, which is
sometimes
exactly...
More so.
It is crazy. There's got to be a breaking point here. People can't continue to afford this stuff, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but something does need to happen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.